بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our fourth session, reading from Manhaj Yawmi, لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge, and advice by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, rahimahullah, in the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the second section of four sections of this advice of the Shaykh, yani the Minhaj, that we looked at first, the Minhaj with Allah. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the Minhaj with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Shaykh mentions three points. And tonight, it is our intention to try to look at the first of those points, and next week, inshallah, the remaining two. Before we go into the points of the manhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 3. First question being, explain the second advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Allah. The second advice under one's manhaj with Allah. I see a hand back there, I don't know who it is. Is it Hanif? Okay, no. Your heart being, yani striving, making every effort to fill your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Tayyib. Naam. And a person making an effort to fill their heart with the love of Allah due to the blessings and bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, as well as the adversities, difficulties and hardships that Allah has removed from one, and especially the ni'mah of Islam and being upright upon it, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the most beloved to you. Naam. Second question, mention two general matters which would help a person to fill his or her heart with the mahabba of Allah. Two general matters that the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, mentions. And two things that would help a person to fill their heart with the love of Allah. Naam. Naam. And we just mentioned them in the first answer. Naam. Fadl Muhammad.
Looking at all the blessings that Allah
has given you. Looking at, yani examining, reflecting upon, calling to mind all of the blessings and favors and bounties of Allah upon you. Naam. Second general matter. Naam, Adil.
The things that Allah has diverted from you,
the things that Allah has diverted from you, that He has removed from you, that He has repulsed from you of adversities, of difficulties and hardships. And these are two general areas, and under them come so many things. Yani so many bounties and blessings and favors of Allah, and so many adversities and hardships and difficulties that Allah has removed from us. Question number 3, mention some of the ni'am, the favors of Allah upon the people in general, and the greatest of them upon the mu'min. Some of the ni'am of Allah in general. Naam. Just one or two or three. Naam. Fadla.
Islam.
Abdul Wali. Naam. Islam. Yani the greatest of them is Islam. Yani Tawheed. Naam. Some of the other favors of Allah upon the people. Other things besides the greatest of them being Islam. Tawheed. Naam. A righteous spouse, a righteous spouse, naam, from the best of them, mashallah. Other than, naam.
Uprightness.
Uprightness, uprightness, naam, naam.
Good health.
Good health. What else?
Being steadfast.
Being steadfast, yani, upon Islam, naam. Naam.
Food, drink,
naam. Ali.
Righteous offspring,
mashallah. And so on. Yani there are many. We mentioned some of them last week from what the Shaykh mentioned in his commentary, and we also mentioned some others that came from other sources. Question number 4. Discuss the third advice mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Allah. Under the manhaj with Allah, the third advice. What was the third advice? Naam. That a person makes an effort to fill their heart with ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week there was a question concerning that in our gathering after the official class. And inshallah we're going to come back to that just briefly today, بإذن الله تعالى. نعم, filling one's heart with the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number four, huh? طيب, question number five. Mention one of the things which would help a person to fill his or her heart with ta'zeem or glorification, exaltation, reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention one thing which would help a person to fill one's heart with ta'zeem of Allah. Zakaria. To reflect upon the ayat that indicate the greatness of Allah. Where do we find those ayat? Huh? Qawniyah wa shar'iyyah. Yani we find them in the creation, what Allah has created, that indicates His greatness and His magnificence and His glory and His power and His wisdom and His knowledge and His mercy and His benevolence towards us. And we also find them in the ayat al-shar'iyyah, that are in what Allah has revealed in the Quran that He sent the messengers with, and especially the last of them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number six. Discuss the relationship between love and glorification of Allah. Yani mahabba of Allah and ta'zeem of Allah. And fulfilling the relationship between the love of Allah and the glorification of Allah, and fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. What is the relationship between them? Naam. What is your name, brother?
Thailand.
Naam. Somebody help me, because I can barely... Yani, voice is very low, brother. My hearing is poor. Okay, keeping your heart, yani being conscious of the fact that when you are doing what Allah has commanded, you're doing it in compliance with Allah's command. And whatever you are leaving, that you're leaving off in compliance with Allah's command. Type, anybody else, add to this. Naam.
Do Allah's commands out of love for Him.
Naam.
And we stay away from haram out of ta'zim.
Yani it is the love of Allah specifically due to which a person fulfills Allah's commands. And it is the ta'zim of Allah. Yani the reverence and glorification and exaltation of Allah due to which a person, yani in recognition of Allah's ta'zim, that a person avoids his prohibitions. Question number seven. Discuss the fourth advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Allah and the ayah that is its basis. Yani the fourth advice of the author under the manhaj with Allah and the ayah that is its basis. What is the ayah first? That's its basis. Now. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay, so what is this fourth advice of the Shaykh? The fourth advice of the Shaykh? Naam.
You worship Him and you do as He commands out of sincerity and because He commanded you to do it, and you will only seek help from Him and alone.
Naam. That a person in every act of worship, that they must have ikhlas. That a person worships Allah with ikhlas. They do everything sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And in seeking help or aid or assistance in every matter, they seek help from Allah alone. They seek help from Allah alone. In this ayah, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, we declare in every rak'ah of every prayer that it is Allah alone. It is You alone that we worship. Yani ikhlas, sincerity in worship of Allah alone, exclusively. And it is You alone that we seek help from. Yani the reliance and dependence upon Allah alone. This is the fourth advice that we discussed last week. Question number eight, discuss the explicit and implicit meaning of Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. What is the explicit, yani clear, obvious meaning of it, and what is the implied meaning? Now, I'm going to come on this side if somebody has a hand up over here, because I don't look over here much. Okay, then I'll come back to this side. Fadl, Ahmed.
So Iyyaka nasta'in is...
Okay, he's starting with Iyyaka nasta'in. In case you didn't hear him, he's close to me. Just summarize. Yani, what is the explicit? What is the implicit meaning?
Iyyaka nasta'in is it repulses kibr.
Okay, repulses kibr. Iyyaka nasta'in repulses kibr. Yani, in other words, a person is recognizing that they're in need of Allah's help. Now,
Iyyaka na'budu means literally to You we worship.
Okay, literally Iyyaka na'budu. The explicit meaning is that we worship You alone. That's clear. Yani, what's the implied meaning?
And it's also the actualization of La ilaha illallah.
Okay, and it's the actualization of La ilaha illallah. This question, the intended meaning of the question, and both of what you said is true, but the intended meaning of the question is, there's an obvious, explicit, Yani literal meaning of the statement, and then there's an implied meaning that is understood from it. It's not explicit, it's implied. Now we're going to come back to Muhammad.
To you we rely on.
Now Yaqanasta'in, to you we rely upon. That's a meaning of it, Yani. But what is intended by this question is something a little bit different. I'm going to go to the back, and then we're going to give one more shot, and then after that we're going to say what I intended by the question. And it's not that any of this is wrong. All of this was what was stated, but we want to kind of get to a particular point, Yani. What was intended by the question, Abdul Wali? That's true as well. The reason why the question is not being answered exactly the way I intended is because I didn't make it clear, obviously, last week. I'll take the blame for it. Imam.
The apparent meaning is that I only put my trust in Allah. The implied meaning is I don't put it on anyone besides Him.
The apparent meaning is that I only put my trust in, rely upon Allah. The implied meaning is that I don't depend upon or rely upon anyone other than Allah. That's not stated, but that's what's implied. If I depend upon Allah alone, what's implied by that is I don't depend upon anyone else. If I worship Allah alone, what's implied by that is I don't worship anyone besides Allah. The literal statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, means that you alone we worship. What's implied by that is that we don't worship anyone besides you. So this is a fine meaning that I obviously didn't make very clear last week, but making it clear now, inshallah. Tayyib. The last question is, mention some of the benefits of being conscious of why you are complying with Allah's commands and prohibition. Being conscious of why you are in compliance with His commands and in compliance with His prohibitions. What are two benefits that the Shaykh mentioned? Naam.
You'll find more satisfaction in your
worship. Yani, if a person is conscious of why, Yani, they are complying with Allah's commands and prohibitions, then they will find a ta'am, yani a satisfaction, a sweetness in their worship, because they're conscious of the fact of why they are doing what they're doing for Allah alone. And the other second benefit that the Shaykh mentioned, Zaki. Then you will find aid, assistance, help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are conscious of why you are complying, why you are doing what you are doing of His commands and His prohibitions, you will find any aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you would not find if you had been relying upon yourself. And when you rely upon Allah, you're going to find help from Allah that you wouldn't find if you felt like, I'm self-sufficient, I don't need help. These are some of the points that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to go to the second section of the four areas of advice of the Shaykh in terms of the daily manhaj of the seeker of knowledge. Before we look at those though, I want to go back just a little bit. And I'm just going to mention here quickly that because of the briefness of the time between Maghrib and Isha, 10 minutes waiting for the Iqamah, 10 minutes to pray, and 10 minutes for people to make their adhkar and sunnahs, because the time is very short, and I didn't want to rush through this topic, which I had intended to do in one session tonight, but I felt like it's going to be too much rushing through it. So I'm going to just, since we have a little extra time, because I'm not going to do it all tonight, I'm going to mention this point that came up last week from Muhammad. He asked about the ta'zeem, the implementation of the ta'zeem. How does that actually play out? We know what ta'zeem is, and we have some idea about how to increase the ta'zeem of Allah by looking at the signs of His greatness and His glory and His magnificence in the creation and in the Quran. I had read this some time ago, and I didn't have it fresh in my mind, so I didn't want to just speak from memory. My memory is not like that. So I said I'll wait till next week, inshallah, and look for the quote from Al-Imam Abdurrahman As-Sa'adi, where he talks about ta'zeem of Allah in the book At-Tawdih Al-Mubin, Li-Tawheed Al-Anbiya Wal-Mursaleen. He says that the ta'zeem of Allah... Are there any more study guides left? This is something else here. Yeah, somebody pass one up here. Just pass it up. Just pass it up. Pass it all the way up to the front, and this brother will give it to the one who needs it, inshallah. طيب, the Shaykh, he says in the meaning of ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said the meaning of ta'zeem is of two types. The one that we're concerned about is the second one. I'll just mention the first one quickly. He said the first meaning of ta'zeem is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mawsoof bi kulli sifati kamal. That Allah is described with every characteristic of perfection. And the first of the meanings of ta'zeem is that we recognize that Allah is described with every characteristic or quality of perfection. وَلَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْكَمَالِ الَّذِي وُصِفَ بِهِ أَكْمَلُهُ وَأَعْظَمُهُ وَأَجَلُهُ. And he has from that perfection which he is described with, from that perfection of every type, every description of perfection, from each one of those descriptions of perfection, he has the most perfect degree of it, and the greatest of it, and the best of it. That's the first meaning. The second meaning is in reference to Muhammad's question last week, how does the exaltation of Allah, the glorification of Allah, the reverence of Allah, what do we actually do to glorify Allah? We know that He deserves to be glorified, but what do we do? So the Shaykh said the second meaning of ta'zeem of Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who alone deserves ta'zeem. He's the only one who has a right to ta'zeem from the created beings. فَيَسْتَحِقُّ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَنْ يُعَذِّمُوهُ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَأَمَالِهِمْ. So he is entitled, he is worthy, he is deserving, he has a right from his worshippers that they exalt him, that they glorify him, that they revere him. How? With their hearts and with their tongues and with their actions. How do we do the ta'zeem of Allah? We do it with our hearts, we do it with our tongues, and we do it with our actions. وَذَلِكَ بِبَذْلِ الْجُهُدِ فِي مَعَارِفَتِهِ وَمَحَبَّتِهِ وَالذُّلَّهُ وَالْخَوْفِ مِنْهُ. How is the ta'zeem of Allah in the hearts? It is that a person exerts their self in knowing Allah. A person makes an effort to know Allah, so that in one's heart, that knowledge is what? Is the exhibition, the implementation of ta'zeem of Allah. That a person will have in their heart ta'zeem of Allah if they know Allah, and if they love Allah, and if they humble themselves to Allah, and they fear Allah. This is the ta'zeem of the heart. As far as the ta'zeem of the tongue, the Shaykh said, وَإِعْمَالَ al-lisan بِالثَّنَاءَ عَلَيْهِ. That a person uses their tongue to be actively engaged in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third aspect of the ta'zeem of Allah is, with the actions, that qiyam al-jawari bi shukrihi wa ubudiyatihi. That a person engages their limbs, the limbs of the body, in actions that are manifestations of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and are manifestations of their state of ubudiyah, that they recognize that they are abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person's limbs are engaged in those things that manifest their gratitude and their appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, in simple words, that is by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that a person's limbs are engaged in the manifestation of their recognition of their state of ubudiyah, that they are a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the abd is going to, what is the abd who knows that he is an abd going to be engaged in? Or we can say the abid, in terms of the meanings of abd and abid. And abd includes both of them, but what is intended here is the abid, the worshipper, is going to be engaged in acts of worship. So this is what Sheikh Al-Imam Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di said. And in another place he said, وَمِن تَعَظِيمِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ أَن يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى وَيُذْكَرْ فَلَا يُنْسَى وَيُشْكَرْ فَلَا يُكْفَرْ. And this is the definition that one of the companions of the Prophet, I think it's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, mentioned concerning at-taqwa. That is, from the ta'zeem of Allah, is that he is obeyed and he's not disobeyed. This is a manifestation of ta'zeem of Allah. That he is remembered. That he is remembered and not forgotten. The one who forgets Allah, Allah will cause them to be forgotten, to forget their own selves. And that he be shown appreciation and gratitude and that he not yani be shown yani ingratitude. ومن تعظيمه وإجلاله أن يخضع لأوامره وشرعه وحكمه. And also from the ta'zim of Allah is that a person, and the reverence of Allah is that a person yani is engaged in submissive obedience to the commands of Allah and to the legislation of Allah and to the law of Allah, and that a person does not resist or object or oppose anything of what he has legislated. And finally, I also remembered that Shaykh Abdul Razak had mentioned in his explanation in the book Yani Fiqh al-Adhkar wal-Adiyah wal-Adhkar, he mentioned in the explanation of the supplications of Salat, he said the supplication in the Tashahud, At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi wa-Salawat wa-Tayyibat, he said, At-Tahiyyat, it is the plural of tahiyya. And what is intended by at-tahiyya or tahiyyat is ta'zimat. Yani when we recite the tashahud and we say at-tahiyyatu lillahi, what is intended is the ta'zim of Allah. That every type of ta'zim of Allah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every type of ta'zim belongs to Allah. He said the intended meaning of at-tahiyyat is ta'zimat. Bikafati siyaghiha wa jami'i hayatiha. من ركوع والسجود والذل والخضوع والخشوع والانكسار كل ذلك لله وحده لا شريك له وهي له ملكا واستحقاقا. يعني that each and every expression of praise and exaltation, however it may be worded, and every position or condition which reflects glorification and exaltation and reverence of Allah, including bowing yani in salat and prostration in salat, and a person recognizing their lowliness in front of Allah, their humble submission, their submissive humility, and their repentant contrition, all of this, he said, belongs to Allah alone. He doesn't have any partner in it, and it is his right, milkan, yani he owns this. This is what he possesses, aslan and istiqaqan, and he is actually has a right to it because he is worthy and deserving of it. This is what Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned in the explanation of At-Tashahud. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're looking at the second section from the four sections of the manhaj, the daily manhaj of the seeker of knowledge. And every Muslim man and every Muslim woman is obligated to seek knowledge. He said, ثانياً قال رحمه الله تعالى, and we're reading from page 34 of the Arabic translation, and I think in the English translation at the top of page 29. Shaykh says, ثانياً مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Shaykh Abdul Razak said, here the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned several affairs. يعني ذكر أموراً. قال, number one, and this is the one that we want to look at today. Number one, أن يقدم محبته على محبة كل مخلوق وحديه وسنته على كل حدي وسنة. That a person gives preference and precedence to the love of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم over the love of every other created being. Over every other created being. And that a person give preference to his guidance and to his sunnah over every other guidance and every other sunnah. The Shaykh mentions three main points in his commentary on this. First, of the matters of the manhaj of the seeker of knowledge with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first matter is what? That a person gives preference, precedence, priority to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over every other created being, over everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and gives preference to his guidance and to his sunnah over any other guidance and any other practice of created beings. The first point that the Shaykh makes is the proof from the sunnah that giving preference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over every other created being is from iman. It's from the foundations of iman. that a person's iman is not complete and perfect without, unless they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than everything else. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ حَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. La yu'minu ahadukum. No one of you will believe. Yani the meaning here is the iman will not be complete and perfect. Yani what is being negated here is the perfection of iman. Not iman in its totality. But what is intended here is no one will have complete and perfect iman. No one of you will have complete and perfect iman. Hatta akuna habba ilayhi. Until I am more beloved to him than his parents and his children and all of mankind. Than his parents and his children and all of mankind. Allahu musta'an. The sign of a person's having love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than everyone else is that they are obedient to him and that they follow his example and that they avoid yani opposing what he has brought. Before I read the second point that the Shaykh mentions concerning this love, giving precedence to the love of the Prophet ﷺ over every other created being, Al-Imam Ibn Rajab says in his explanation of this hadith, he says, مَحَبَّةُ النَّبِيِّ ﷺ مِنْ أُصُولَ الْإِيمَانِ. That loving the Prophet is from the foundations, the fundamentals of Iman. وَهِيَ مُقَارَنَةٌ لِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Second point he said, and it is coupled with the love of Allah. And the love of the Messenger is coupled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani it is derived from the love of Allah. Yani whoever loves Allah, they love his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allah himself has coupled the love of the Messenger with love of himself. Allah himself has coupled the love of the Messenger with love of himself. And he has threatened whoever gives preference to any of the things that are naturally loved, like a person's relatives, or their wealth, or their land, or other than that. He threatens whoever gives preference to any of those things that people naturally love, who give preference to that, over love of Allah and the love of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 24th Ayah, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ. Yani if your parents and your children and your siblings and your spouses and your yani relatives وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرَدَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Yani that if your parents and your children and your siblings and your spouses and your relatives and the wealth that you have gained and the trade that you fear a decline in and the homes that you are pleased with are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and fighting in His way, then wait until Allah brings His decision, yani His punishment. This is a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah has coupled the love of the Messenger with love of Himself. Yani if these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and jihad in His way, then wait until Allah brings about His affair. Yani the scholar said, bringing about His affair, it means that He will bring about His punishment. He will bring about His punishment. Al-Imam As-Sa'di said concerning this ayah, this noble ayah is the greatest evidence of the obligation of loving Allah and His Messenger and giving precedence and preference to the love of them over the love of every other thing. And this ayat is also an indication of the severe threat and the certain yani dislike of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anyone who gives precedence to any of those mentioned things over the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and fighting in His way. The second point that the Shaykh makes related to this matter The second point that he makes, نعم. He says, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا لَا يَكْفِي. يعني a person loving the Prophet ﷺ more than their parents and their children and all of mankind is not sufficient. Rather, more than that, additionally, يعني إضافة إلى ذلك تقدم محبته على محبتك لنفسك. That a person gives preference to love of the Prophet ﷺ over their love of their own self. Over the love of their own self. And this came in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma, in which يعني it is mentioned that Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard this hadith, that no one has complete and perfect iman until they love the Prophet more than they love their parents and their children, all of mankind, Umar said, لَا أَنْتَ حَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا مِنْ نَفْسِي. That indeed, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, indeed, you are more beloved to me than everything except my own self. Yani, which is natural, that a person is going to love their own self more than anything else. Except that a person came to know that Allah has legislated that loving the Prophet has preference over even loving your own self. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar, لَا وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدْهِ حَتَّى أَكُونَ حَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. No, you will not have complete and perfect iman until I am more beloved to you even than your own self. Umar came to know this is what Allah has legislated, accepted it instantly, submitted and surrendered from his heart with sincerity. He said, قَالَ لَهُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ الْآنَ وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْتَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ نَفْسِي. Now that I came to know this, by Allah, you are more beloved to me than even my own self. The Prophet ﷺ said, الآن يا عمر. Now, يا عمر. Now. Now your iman has become complete and perfect. وهذه المحبة ليست مجرد دعوة يدعيها المرء. The Sheikh says, يعني that this is a very important point here that he makes concerning this topic. Very, very important point. That this love of the Prophet ﷺ, يعني giving it preference over the love of anyone and anything else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this love is not simply a claim that a person can claim. لأنه من السهل على كل لسان ومن اليسير على كل إنسان أن يقول إني أحب الرسول محبة عظيمة مقدمة على محبتي لنفسي ووالده وولده والناس أجمعين. And it's easy for a tongue. It's easy for a person to say with their tongue that indeed I love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a great love that yani is preferred over my love for my own self and my love for my parents and my children and all of mankind. It's easy for a person to say that. ولكن الدعوة لا تكفي. But just claiming this love is not sufficient. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 31st Ayat, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. And he told the Prophet ﷺ to tell the people who claim that they love Allah, and that the claim is not sufficient. If you love Allah, then you must follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then as a result of that love, you must follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. And then as a result of that, Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive you your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمٌ. Here, we're going to just take a brief look at some of the comments concerning this ayat. Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, concerning this ayat, says, هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ حَاكِمَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مَنْ إِدَّعَ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. This ayat is a judge over every person who claims love of Allah. وَلَيْسَ هُوَ عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ. Every person who claims love of Allah, while he is not upon الطَّرِيقَةِ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ. يعني not طَرِيقَةِ تِجَانِيَّةِ. طَرِيقَةِ مُحَمَّدِيَّةِ. Not any other طَرِيقَةِ that the people have today. The طَرِيقَةِ of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person claims the love of Allah, and he's not upon the طَرِيقَةِ of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Kathir says, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّهُ كَاذِبٌ فِي دَعْوَاهُ فِي نَفْسِ الْعَمَرِ, that he is a liar concerning this claim. He's a liar. That's the word that he used, كَاذِب. He's a liar. Al-Hafiz, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir said this. Whoever doesn't like it. He is a liar concerning this claim. حَتَّى يَتَّبِيَ شَرْعَ الشَّرْعَ الْمُحَمَّدِي وَالدِّينَ النَّبَوِي فِي جَمِيعَ أَخْوَالِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ, unless and until he follows the Sharia that was brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he follows the deen that came from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of his sayings and in all of his actions. And this is what is confirmed in the Sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa raddun." Whoever does a deed that's not in accordance with this matter that we have come with, it is rejected. It is rejected. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, "Za'ama qawman annahum yuhibbun Allah fabtalahum Allah bi hadhihi al-ayah." Yani, a people claimed that they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah made a test for them in this ayah. When he said, if you love Allah, if you claim to love Allah, then you must follow me. Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his beautiful tafsir concerning this ayah, yarhamakallah. He says, and I wish that I can read it to you in Arabic, but for the sake of time, I'm going to not be able to do so. But yani, just the beginning of it, he says, هذه الآية فيها وجوب محبة الله وعلاماتها ونتيجتها وثمراتها. And in this ayat, it entails or it indicates the obligation of loving Allah. It also entails the signs of sincere love of Allah. The علامات. والنتيجة, and the result, yani which will come about if a person really loves Allah and follows the Prophet ﷺ, and the ثمرات, and the fruits of a person truly loving Allah, which is manifested in following the Prophet ﷺ. He said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, yani whoever claims this very high level and this high station after which there's nothing above it, it's not sufficient to merely claim this love. Rather, a person has to have sidq, truthfulness and sincerity in this claim of love. وَعَلَامَةُ sidq, and the sign of a person's sincerity in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اتِّبَى رَسُولِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي جَمِيعِ أَحْوَالِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. He said it, the proof, the sign of a person's sincerity in loving Allah is following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of his situations or circumstances, in everything that he says and in everything that he does. Fi usul al-din wa furu'ihi, in the fundamentals of the deen and in the branches, yani in the aqidah and in the ibadah. Wa fi zahir wal batin, and in that which is apparent and that which is hidden, yani the outward actions and the actions of the heart. So whoever follows the Messenger, this points to the truthfulness of his claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, as a result of that, yani the natija of that, is ahabbuhullah, Allah will love him. And the fruit of that is ghafara lahu dhanbahu, that Allah will forgive him his sins, wa rahimahu, and Allah will have mercy upon him. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then Allah, yani whoever, yani, yani whoever claims to love, whoever follows the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them and he will forgive them their sins, and he is Ghafur Rahim. Yani the one who will yani forgive them and have mercy upon them. So whoever doesn't follow the Messenger, then he is not a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because loving, his love of Allah requires by necessity, تُوجَبُ لَهُ اتِّبَاءَ رَسُولِهِ, it necessitates that a person has to follow his Messenger. So whenever there is no following of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is no love of Allah. And then this person is just a liar in his claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di says, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ يُوزَنُ جَمِيعَ الْخَلْقِ فَعَلَى حَسَبْ حَذِّهِمْ مِنْ اتِّبَارِ الرَّسُولِ يَكُونُ إِمَانُهُمْ وحبهم لله وما نقص من ذلك نقص. يعني that by this ayat, everyone in the creation is weighed, yani is judged, is measured by this ayat. So in accordance with a person's share of their following the messenger will be their share of iman and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani in other words, the more a person follows the messenger, then the greater will be their iman and their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more their following of the messenger is defective, then this will indicate the defectiveness of their iman and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point here is what? That claiming to love the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like claiming to love Allah, requires proof. And the proof of the love of Allah is following the messenger. And the proof of loving the messenger is following the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, it's easy for every person to make a claim. The Shaykh closes by saying, وَلِهَذَا قَرَنَ الشَّيْخ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْمَحَبَّةِ لُزُومِ الْحَدِي. Yani, for this reason, the Shaykh, meaning Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, has joined together the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the obligation of adhering to his guidance. Yani a person will not, like he said that the first matter is what? That a person gives preference to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over every other created being, but he didn't stop there. He said, and they also give preference to his hadi, to his guidance and his sunnah, over every other guidance and every other sunnah. So he's saying, for this reason, the Shaykh has joined, yani to the mahabba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligation of following his guidance. And he said, وَإِذَا قَدَّمْتَ حَدْيَهُ وَسُنَّتَهُ عَلَى كُلِّ حَدْيٍ وَسُنَّةٍ كَانَ ذَلِكَ أَمَارَةً عَلَى صِدْقِ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَكَمَالِهَا. So if a person gives preference to the guidance and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over every other, yani guidance and every other sunnah, then this will be an indication or a sign of the truthfulness and the sincerity of their love and of its perfection, and of its perfection. Now, so this is what we wanted to cover for tonight, and it's almost time for the adhan, and we would have rushed through this, and what remains for next week, inshallah, with a very difficult task to cover it all in one session, so please pardon me for extending it to two sessions, but yani, the importance of this matter, I felt is yani important enough for us to take our time and look at it a little bit more carefully. And so, yani, what we live with here is that from our manhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we have to give precedence and preference to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over love of everyone and anything else, including our own selves. Claiming that love is not sufficient; rather, a person proves it by following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that we say and in everything that we do, in every situation or circumstance. And whoever does so, inshallah, their reward is great. Yani, because following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, entitles a person to the love of Allah and Allah's forgiveness of their sins and Allah's mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in reflecting upon this reality and then acting upon it. Reflecting upon it and then acting upon it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone and in accordance with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that He recognize, record, and reward all of our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, yani steadfastness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick. And may He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire and admit them into paradise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant His special, yani His special relief and yani protection and preservation for the Muslims who are being murdered and slaughtered and tortured and persecuted in Palestine and elsewhere in the Muslim world and in the Kafir countries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them with the protection from Himself. May Allah protect them with a protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and from above them and below them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one, and He is the only one who can grant relief. And there is no one who can give that which Allah has withheld. And there is no one who can withhold that which Allah has given. So we ask Him, the one who is the doer of whatever He wills, and to grant relief and comfort and to reward and compensate the Muslims, wherever they may be, but especially the Muslims who are in Palestine and Gaza, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief and that He reward them and compensate them for their suffering and grant them patience from Himself. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or any comments, inshallah we'll take them after the salat, inshallah, after the salat, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And if there's anybody who is memorizing, inshallah, after the gathering tonight, I'm going to give you a copy of this schedule of what we should be memorizing weekly, just so that it's clear, what we should be memorizing weekly. Do the best that you can. Whatever you memorize is good. If we don't memorize on time, at least we should be trying to memorize. If we don't memorize the whole, then we shouldn't leave the whole. And whoever can't get the whole of something, they don't leave the whole of it. I can't memorize it all, so I don't memorize anything. And if a person can't memorize the whole Quran, does he not memorize anything? The young people don't have any excuse for memorizing something as important as this. May Allah grant us success.